This is the Rogan and Rodney Podcast. Heard weekdays at noon on AM 570 LA Sports. Stream the show on the iHeartRadio app by searching AM 570 LA Sports or podcast the show on the iHeartRadio app by searching Rogan and Rodney. This is Jackie Robinson Day on the home of the Dodgers. KLAC Los Angeles, KYSR HD2 Los Angeles, an iHeartRadio station.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
We continue. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. Later this hour, Rodney, our buddy Vinny Monsignor will jump on the show.
Yeah, we got a draft coming up soon, Fred.
Yeah, we do. What will the Chargers do?
I don't know. What do they need to do?
Well, the first thing they need to do is take care of their business in the front office. That's the first thing they need to do.
Talk to them, Fred.
Yeah.
Break it down, Fred.
Get that all worked out. Make sure that the family's all together, and then I guess they'll worry about who they're going to pick. And what are the Rams' plans in this draft? And they've cleared cap space. That they've done. They've done an effective job of taking care of that. Also, I don't know if you heard the report yesterday on Aaron Donald.
Yeah,
in that. Pittsburgh. Yeah, and apparently there was an altercation in a club. As the story goes, somebody bumped into Aaron. Then the two guys took it outside. And we don't know any more than that, except the other guy got the worst of it.
What's the other guy look like? Yeah.
Yeah, the other guy. The other guy.
He looked so hot. He posted the pictures, didn't he?
Oh, he did.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, well, imagine squaring up against Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it works legally when it comes to this whole situation, but you put yourself in a situation where you told Aaron Donald, let's go outside.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like the smartest move to make.
Right.
So... is that really assault if it's actually a fight between two men?
It feels like that. It feels, I don't want to say, because I don't know the facts of this setup, but you know who Aaron Donald is, and what are you doing? And then,
what are you doing?
Yeah, or are you trying to, you know, and then I think I was right. I think he was the one that posted the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's your motive in all of this? Right,
his motive was to get his ass kicked. That was his motive.
That's what I'm saying. I'll take this ass whooping for some cash or something like that. I don't know what the facts, but it doesn't make sense. Like you said, Kevin. I mean, it's just like you're gonna go and you're gonna challenge Aaron Donald to a fight outside. Let's take it outside.
And you can't say you don't know who he is. He was at home in Pittsburgh. Everybody in that neighborhood knows who Aaron Donald is.
Right. All right, and let's say for argument's sake, he's the one guy that doesn't know.
Right.
He doesn't know who Aaron Donald is. If you look at him and you don't know who he is, are you going to invite him outside?
The fact that he has traps on top of traps on top of more traps.
Right. Yeah. Right. No matter who he is, are you going to say, let's take this outside? Okay, well, if you want to, if you want to go, I'm happy to go with you. And so we'll see what Vinny knows about that when we bring him on. But now we've got to come together. We need our spirituality.
Yes, we do.
Well, we need this time to mend and to heal and to unite as a group of people. And to provide that spirituality for us, we welcome on Vic the Brick with the Daily Haiku at 2. And Vic, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Fred.
Way to hold it, Fred. Way to hold it.
And I want to say this, Vic. Rodney was warning me.
Yes, I was.
He was warning me. Don't say anything. And I didn't.
He was about to.
No, I wasn't. I was sitting back, laying out, letting it marinate. Hello, Vic.
Good.
Hi, Fred. Soak in the serenity, my friend.
Yes. Thank you, Vic.
Good afternoon, Rodney Peet.
VTP.
Executive producer.
Yes, you heard it.
Of the Rogan and Rodney Show. Please put your hands together. Give it up.
Give it to
Kevin
him.
Figures.
Kevin Figures.
Yeah, come on now.
Bring it, Vic. Bring it.
On the ones and the twos and the threes and the fours, you know. Ronnie Fazio.
It's King Flavor now.
Yeah.
Sure.
We celebrate 42, the sacred 42. You know, the young bloods know him from being one of the ultimate freedom fighters of all time. But his L.A. roots are so strong. So strong. Muir High School, Pasadena.
Yeah.
UCLA.
Yep.
It's unbelievable how local Jack is to L.A. And we've got to keep that spirit alive with the amazing Rachel and the Robinson family. Did you guys know Jack was a great jazz fan?
I did not know that. I sound like Johnny Carson.
He and Rachel used to have these amazing jam sessions for civil rights on their amazing lawn in Connecticut, where they would invite, you know, the great jazz artists of the day. And, you know, Martin Luther King would attend. And just a fundraiser for the, you know, for the movement. And Jack would have these on his, you know, on his lawn. You know, Cannonball Adderley, and just, you know, the great names of jazz would come to Jack's house, and he and Rachel were to entertain, you know, the enlightened people. And he did it a couple times. I know he made some great money for the civil rights movement with the jazz sessions on his lawn. And if you watch the way Jack played on the tapes, or the film, or whatever, you can see the great Robinson.
Like a stone tablet.
He was like a jazz artist when he ran the bases.
Yes.
His moves were just in the moment. You know, going from third to home, there was none other stealing home than Jack. But he was a great jazz artist in the bass path.
Interesting analogy.
Staccato bursts.
Yes.
Well, we love you, Jack. And now, this haiku for you is from Fuso.
Oh, we had Fuso yesterday?
A couple days ago. He's hot.
Kevin, can you look up Fuso? We could not find yesterday's haiku artist, and when we looked them up, they said they did poems about Roy Rogers. So
yeah, I'm getting a lot of light for the breakthrough artists.
Yeah.
So this is sort of like the American Idol of haiku right here.
Okay.
Drop the mic.
I don't see anything on Fuso, by the way.
Fuso?
Nope.
Fuso. What about Fuso, Vic?
Not much. Very obscure.
Is he from the mountains?
You know, he trekked around Japan, of course, searching for that spark of joy.
And enlightenment.
Exactly. Haiku for you this Thursday. Jackie Robinson Day. Happy Jackie Robinson Day, everybody. April the 15th. Strike the great bell, I pray, to bid the early cherry trees burst into bloom today. The feeling you! Fuso.
And not only was that a tremendous haiku, but it actually rhymed. Now, that was a double bagger right there. Double banger, Vic.
Thank you, Fred.
Hey, double bagger.
Yeah, I didn't mean that. Double banger is what I meant. Two bangs for your buck. That was good, Vic. That was really good. I appreciated that.
Oh, well, listen, I think every day you're soaking it in more and more, and you're growing your mind more and
Freddie's growing, Vic. He's growing, isn't he? Freddie is growing.
He's listening
with his heart.
He's in his inner nature is opening up.
Yes. My inner nature.
It's a beautiful thing to see and hear and feel.
It's about time my inner nature opened up, Vic. People have
been a few years
demanding that forever. Yeah, I'm just glad you were able to do that for me.
Anything I can do. I am like John Stockton to calm alone.
So what it looks like is Fuso. Sorry to cut you off there, Vic. It's spelled F-U-S-A-N-G, but it's pronounced Fuso. And it refers to several different entities in Chinese literature. Ooh. So I wonder if it's like one of those collaborative poet things where it's like it's one name, but it's like 80 different writers sort of situation. That's kind of what I'm doing.
Very possible,
right now,
yeah.
Fuso.
Well, Vic, you spelled the guy's name differently.
F-U-S-O.
Yeah, no, we know that, but Kevin just spelled it.
Yeah, I found nothing on F-U-S-O. But I did find something spelled F-U-S-A-N-G, and it's supposedly pronounced Fuso.
Well, he may have gone into different regions with a different name.
Kind of like Hardee's and Carl's Jr.?
Just like that, Fred. Yeah.
Sort of.
Right? Kind of like Ralph's and Kroger's? Yes. Is that what you mean?
It's lit. Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
Welcome, everybody. Jacob and Ronnie. You're getting in trouble.
Yeah.
You need help. There's one guy that can help you out. He was on earlier today. He means it. He is available 24/7. Jacob M. Ronnie, if you need him, call him. 844-24-JACOB.
Accident or injury, call Jacob M. Ronnie. Call Jacob.
Of course, as we've mentioned all throughout the show today, is Jackie Robinson Day. You can't talk enough about one of the great trailblazers in sports history and just American history in general. And a pretty cool story from the Dodgers. So Mookie Betts, David Price, and Dave Roberts are all donating their salaries from today's game to the Player Alliance. We know the Player Alliance in Major League Baseball is an initiative involving many players and owners. I believe Mark Walter is actually on the executive board for the players in this committee, and basically trying to get more inclusion in Major League Baseball and trying to bring baseball into inner cities and involve more diversity into the Major League. So Mookie Betts, David Price, and Dave Roberts donating their salaries to the Players Alliance. Pretty cool gesture.
Classy. What else can you say? Just really a classy gesture, Rodney.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. I mean, it's, you know, we hear a lot and people talk a lot, but to actually put your money where your mouth is the actions that people are, that we all respect. And so hats off to those guys for donating their salary. Absolutely fantastic.
You are judged by the deeds you do. And these guys stepping up like that for Jack and getting, you know, more inclusion into the major leagues is just a beautiful gesture. So, you know, mad love to you guys. Mad love. It's beautiful.
So we know Joe Musgrove had a no-hitter for the Padres last weekend. We had another no-hitter last night with the White Sox with Carlos Rodon. And some controversy coming out of that game, mainly some vitriol coming towards Roberto Perez, who was playing for Cleveland. He was the catcher that was at the plate and actually got hit in the ninth inning. Now, people were actually criticizing him for not moving out of the way so that they could preserve a perfect game instead of having a no-hitter, Rodney. So people said that Perez was disgraceful and a villain of the entire Major League Baseball season. One person even said he needs to be arrested. I guess their logic is it was an 8-0 game at that point in time. But, you know, in baseball, you never want to give up. You know, if I'm in this situation, I don't know if I'm jumping out of the way so I can preserve his perfect game. That's not how the game is supposed to be played, at least for me, Fred.
Well, that's like bunting against a no-hitter,
correct,
right?
Correct, yeah.
Same deal. You shouldn't do that. But the objective is to win. And, you know, they were not going to beat the White Sox last night. It only came down to the no-hitter. Rodney, I don't have a problem with him not getting out of the way. I really don't.
What?
You play the game. You play the game.
What is this, Little League, Fred?
Yeah, exactly. What is this, Little League, Bush League? If he was hitting away and all that, but it, you know, you got to at least try to get away. Don't take the dose. Don't take the hit on intentionally. Go, oh, I'm gonna let it hit my foot. That's ridiculous, Fred. Not the first inning either.
Yeah, you compete. You compete.
Yeah.
I throw the ball closer to the zone. I won't get hit.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I say. When do I ever agree with Fred? I think I want to change my opinion now. A pretty serious story out of the NBA this morning. We know LaMarcus Aldridge twice a target for the Los Angeles Lakers. Most recently when he was bought out, but he of course signed with the Brooklyn Nets. And this morning he announced he was going to retire from the NBA after experiencing an irregular heartbeat during the Lakers game this past weekend. He said, it's time for me to put my health and my family first and no longer risk playing. Played 15 years in the league, and my guess is he's not hurting for money considering he made $196 million just off of his NBA contract, not including endorsements, Fred.
Yeah, well, he made his money. And if you don't have your health, you have nothing. And if he's concerned about his health, there's no reason at all why he should risk it any longer. I mean, he's at the tail end of his career anyway. So why go out there and risk your health? He made his money, had a wonderful career, wants to spend time with his family. Rodney, I get that 100%.
100%, absolutely. Your family comes first. You know, and your health comes first. So anybody that wants to suggest otherwise, or you remember the backlash that Andrew Luck took when he decided that he wanted to retire in his prime because he was injured every other year, and people went at him. But you know, you still have a life and you still have family, so that is the most important thing. And he got 15 years in, made a lot of money, but at this point, why risk it? Why risk, especially when you're talking about your heart? Don't play around. So good for him. Happy retirement. And let's move on.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? You mentioned Andrew Luck, and I remember that. And people were saying, how in the world could you retire? What are you doing? Here's why he retired. Because he wanted to.
Right.
Because it's his decision. Because he doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to do. He didn't want to play anymore. Barry Sanders. Why did you retire? Because I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to get my brains bashed in. I want to be able to walk. Yeah. Is that okay? I know I'm really good at what I do. Is that okay? I've had enough. It's okay. If you've had enough, you've had enough.
Great clarity from LaMarcus. He's had a tremendous career. Like you say, he's made hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. You remember him with Portland when he was an unstoppable force for the Trailblazers offensively. You couldn't stop him. He went on to the Spurs, solid years with the Spurs, and it's a great decision, and enjoy retirement and enjoy your good health.
Some good news for your Trojans there, Rodney.
Yes!
Especially from a basketball standpoint. So we know Tony Bland was an assistant coach. Yep. Back in 2017, he was wrapped up in that whole FBI investigation. And because USC did self-impose a couple of penalties, some scholarship reductions, the NCAA finally made their decision today and decided to basically give him a bit of a slap on the wrist. They fined him $5,000. They're adding an additional 2 years of probation. But because Tony Bland and the university were fully compliant, they're not going to receive a postseason ban, nor will they take away any wins from USC, which is really important considering the corner that they turned this past season.
Well, that's, you know, a slap on the wrist is one thing. And it's good news for USC. I'll tell you who's not going to get a slap on the wrist. University of Arizona.
Oh, no.
They just fired Sean Miller.
Yep.
Because they know what's coming.
It's coming.
And they've got to do everything they can to protect themselves. That whole thing was, I don't know, the FBI's involved. I don't know if that should have been an FBI situation. College recruiting. But the guys involved, they're done. I mean, they're not going to work again. And I'll be curious to see if Sean Miller gets another job after we really find out what Arizona's going to be dealing with. But, I guess USC gets away. Did they lose any scholarships? I don't know.
Yes. They self-imposed some scholarship losses, but from the NCAA currently in their final ruling, did not lose any additional scholarships other than what they self-imposed up until this point.
And also, the NCAA may be taking it easy on SC after what they did to the football program.
Can they go back and do that?
Charitable the football program was to a homeless guy. So it was like, we don't want to do that. That was very nice of you guys. So.
SC just almost got the death penalty when Alabama and Clemson and LSU and everybody else down there was doing 10 times worse, and they wanted to point the finger. Yeah, I'm still angry about that. The whole give back the national title and Heisman Trophy for Reggie Bush and all that kind of junk is ridiculous. But good. Good for Tony Bland. You know, sometimes guys get caught up into situations, and hopefully he'll be able to bounce back and do some other things. But, yeah, the switching gears to what you said, Fred, Arizona's in trouble.
Huge trouble.
Bad. Yeah.
This is the greatest ruling for USC in years. The draconian violations that were set down by the NCAA with the football team were insane. And for them just to get this light stroke. It's just fabulous for the basketball program, and Coach Enfield, and they're making inroads, hoop wise. So this was really a great day for USC, not to be shafted by the NCAA, where they have so often in the last 2 decades.
Since we're talking Trojans here, Rodney, two former Trojan football players in the news right now. Ryan Khalil was a great center for the Carolina Panthers and then played for the New York Jets, played with Sam Darnold. And he says he kind of lays a lot of the blame to Sam Darnold's lack of development on the head coach, Adam Gase. Even talking about the system, he said it was an offensive system that did not allow for a lot of individual freedom. It was very, you do it this way, and that's it. A lot of the scheme was predetermined based on what they thought they were seeing from the sideline. Now, as a former NFL quarterback who played in multiple systems, Rodney, you can speak to this better than anybody. When they don't allow you the freedom to change plays at the line or make audibles or whatever it may be, how much can that handicap you as a quarterback?
You have no chance. You know, it's one thing to look at film and say, okay, we're going to run this play and it's going to work. We're going to run off tackle to the right. Well, they may have Mean Joe Green over to the right. You got to change that play. Okay, we're gonna drop back 7 steps and we're gonna hold it for 3.5 seconds, Sam, and we want you to hit that deep comeback on the left side, and we're gonna block it all up 1-on-1. Well, Reggie White is coming off the left side. Can we change that and add him some help and get it double team on that guy? No, you got to do it as we wrote it up on the paper. It's absolutely ridiculous how he's still there, and they're gonna find out real soon. It wasn't about Sam Darnold with the Jets. It was the Jets coaching staff, the Jets culture. Until that changes, the Jets ain't going anywhere. I'm sorry to say, Dick.
Well, wait, Adam Gase admitted, I did a bad job.
Yes.
You know what? Blame me. My bad. I didn't do anything to develop him. If the coach is
saying... So we're going to ship him out.
Yeah, if the coach is saying, hey, look, don't blame him, blame me. I really didn't teach him anything. You know, we just told him what to do, but we didn't make him any better. Well, if you didn't make him any better, by your own admission, as a coaching staff, how are you going to blame him? You've got this kid with all this talent, and you've done nothing to improve him by your own admission. I think he's going to do just fine in Carolina, Vic.
Oh, yeah. Sam had no shot in hell with the New York Jets. You know, the most dysfunctional organization in the National Football League, you know, until they picked up Robert Saleh as a head coach, and things are changing, but it's done for Sam. He had no clue of improvisation. He had nowhere to go. He had no playmakers. He had no O-line. He was thrown to the freaking wolves. And he had so much class, Sam never lashed out. If you look at his career, the short 3 years of hell in New York, Sam never lashed out. He had too much class. And he's a good dude. He's going to find great success in Carolina. Sam Darnold, man, your career is just beginning.
And Matt Rhule, offensive-minded coach,
yes,
you know, kind of can take advantage of Sam's skills. It'll be good for him down there.
And speaking of the NFL, the competition committee is set to meet pretty soon here to talk about potential rules changes for the upcoming season. We've discussed one on the show before, the possibility of eliminating overtime games in the preseason, which I can't believe is still a thing.
That's right.
It's neither here nor there. Something
they just walk off the field. I mean, come on.
I'm with you, Vic. Another thing, something the Baltimore Ravens have asked about, is adding an 8th official positioned somewhere other than the playing field with full communication to on-field officials and access to a TV monitor. So essentially, it seems like another replay official. And then, an interesting one for me, not impactful on the way the game is played at all, but interesting nonetheless, the Kansas City Chiefs asking to expand jersey number options for certain positions. So receivers don't have to be in the 80s, or quarterbacks don't have to be a low single digit or number. I don't know how you feel about this, Rodney. Would you have felt comfortable wearing number 27 as a quarterback out there?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with, I mean, right now the receivers can wear teens. They can wear double digits. They can wear 12 and 15 and things like that. I don't know. I don't think they can wear single digits. Only quarterbacks and kickers, I think, can do that. But it used to be, linemen had to be in the 70s and 60s and things of that nature. I just don't like to see, and I don't like it in college, I don't like it in high school. I do not like to see a 350-pound defensive lineman wearing a single-digit number. It just bothers me to no end. When I see a number one and he's 280 with a gut hanging out, coming off the edge, running off, I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. So there still needs to be some restrictions, but I get, you know, a skill level player should be able to wear, you know, pretty much whatever jersey other than, you know, 50s or 60s or 70s or something like that. But the big guys, don't give them single digits.
No, and you know, the number I just don't get, I know we have a man of the Lakers that wears it, zero. I don't get anybody that wears zero. And maybe I'm just old-fashioned.
What about double zero? You don't like that either?
Not really.
Well, you can't even wear that in the NFL anymore. They outlawed that. No. I think Jim Otto was the last one.
Good pull. Raider center. Yeah.
What, the last number was the zero? Wasn't there a guy in Houston had double zero?
Was there?
Receiver?
A receiver wore double zeros then?
I think so. I want to say his name was Burrows or something like that.
Well, you can't remember him because he wore double zero.
Maybe.
That pretty much sums up his career. Also, the eighth official.
Yes.
If memory serves correct, weren't they complaining about paying another official to sit up in the booth? Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had,
yeah. Yeah. We don't want to pay for that. Now they're going to put him on the field? So they're going to have the guy on the field and in the booth?
Is he on the field in between the lines, Kevin, or just on the field?
I bet he's off to the side.
It says positioned somewhere other than the playing field.
Okay.
Doesn't say exactly where, but just not on the field.
So the replay official, in essence, would be... So the eyes in the sky would now be on the field.
Seemingly.
Okay, well, what is that guy going to see? In the corner of the field. When they're in the other end of the field. I don't get that one at all, Vic.
I'm good with the numbers. Let them fly. Let them be free.
Oh, no, Vic. No!
Let the numbers fly.
Big number zero. I'm not hung up on the numbers.
I'm not hung up on the numbers. Whatever the player wants, let him rock that number if it helps him. I mean, I understand your massive defensive lineman wearing number eight looks a little weird. But it might get him some deals. Who knows? It might get him some more off the field love. I don't know. I just want them to be free. They're under enough pressure. It's such a violent game. Let them wear the number they want. Let them rock. Rock on.
And Rodney, you were right, by the way. Ken Burrow wore a double zero for the Saints and the Houston Oilers in the 70s and 80s.
Even made a good pull.
Made a couple of Pro Bowls.
That's right.
Out of the great football powerhouse, Texas Southern.
Texas Southern.
Ken Burrow. That's what's lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
All right. Vinny Bonsignor, NFL insider, friend of the show, will jump on next. Get caught up on what the Rams may be planning for the draft.
Bringing you LA's best sports talk weekdays, noon to 3.
Rogan and Rodney.
Well, all right. Start ya. Of the universe. Recording
a little Parliament Funkadelic for you, Fred, on a throwback Thursday. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. Happy Jackie Robinson Day. Let's go, Freddie.
Do it.
All right, Rodney, now let's bring on a friend of ours. Got to talk some NFL today. We've done Dodgers. We've done Lakers. Got to get into the NFL. That means Vinny Bonsignor is with us. Vinny, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, and Rodney, you'll appreciate that. I'd have to use both hands and both feet to count how many times I saw George Clinton in concert. And I got to tell you, I don't know if you've ever seen him.
I have, when he came down with the spaceship, man. way back in the day. Yes, I did.
It's one of those, if the concert said it started at 8 o'clock, you're probably going to be waiting until about midnight before he comes on stage with all his crew. But it was good times. I'm just going to say what I remember of it, by the way. It was good times.
What you remember.
Yeah. Worth the wait.
Yes.
Okay, Vinny, let's get to the NFL. I want to start with this. Any update on that Charger situation with the Spanos family?
Nothing yet. And I think it's going to obviously have to get sorted out. But it's not good. Anytime a family feud of this sort crops up, it's not good. And we all know what the struggles have been with the Chargers, trying to make their mark in Los Angeles. They're moving to a big stadium. I don't know if anyone's really sure what their ticket sales look like and their PSL sales look like and where they really are financially. But this isn't a good sign when you start seeing something like this. And I've had some people in the NFL reach out to me saying, you know, having siblings in a situation like this can really, really complicate things. And we've seen that before. We saw a little bit of it with the Lakers and kind of how with the power structure that was involved with the Lakers, with the bus children. But this is on a different level because it includes now, or it has to do with ownership and one part of ownership wanting to sell and maybe try to force everyone else into selling as well. So this is probably going to take a little bit of time, but I'm fascinated to see where it all heads.
How much, Vinny, can the NFL and Roger Goodell and the other owners really step in to this situation?
Well, it's basically at that point where unless you can, if you can't pay bills, kind of like the Dodgers a few years ago with Frank McCourt, when it got to a point, remember that was a divorce situation and then everything spilled out. But the real issue was, are they going to be able to financially compete? And when Major League Baseball decided that that might be an issue and other things were coming up as well, that's when they, entered the picture. But until something drastic like that happens, there's really not much the NFL can do. They're going to hopefully, they're going to sit back and try to let this thing get sorted out above ground and hopefully seamlessly. But I think everybody's bracing for whatever might happen, including some ugliness.
Okay, Vinny, let's move to the Rams. Here comes the draft. All right, what do you hear about the Rams? What are they going to be doing?
Well, first of all, interesting news about Aaron Donald yesterday.
Well, let's start with that. What do you know about that?
Well, we saw the pictures. We've heard one side of the story so far, and it was kind of convoluted. But here's my thing. Fred, I might throw you in front of me and Aaron Donald if Aaron Donald is looking at me in any kind of sort of way. Like, I'm not challenging Aaron Donald to a fight, but apparently this guy decided that was the best thing to do, and that was a bad decision, obviously. But this will definitely have to be sorted out with the police legally. We'll see where all that goes, and then the NFL, of course, will do its due diligence. So we don't know right now if this could, if Aaron Donald, let's just say, is guilty of some charges and instigated it, and it looked like he was the guy that sort of got this all started and ended it the way he did, he could be facing some penalties, no doubt about it. So it'll be interesting next month or so to see where this is all headed and then at what point the NFL steps in, because they will. They always take a look at these type of situations.
Yeah, they do. And go ahead, Fred.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Rodney.
That's what I was going to ask you. Has the Rams or NFL stepped in at all yet on this?
No, usually the way this all works is, I'm sure the team is doing their due diligence, but typically you kind of wait, to see where it goes legally first. I'm sure they're making calls and trying to get to the bottom of it on their end, but first and foremost is a police investigation, and the city of Pittsburgh and the authorities in charge there are going to go through their end of it. And then make a conclusion. It could get to a situation where it gets thrown out, where no charges are filed, where nothing official happens. And if that's the case, then everyone kind of just brushes their hands off and moves on. But we'll have to wait to see what happens on that end of it before the Rams, start making some decisions and the NFL starts making some decisions.
Okay, now let's go to the draft. What do you hear the Rams are going to do?
Well, I think, when you start looking at offensive line, I think they're fairly set with their skill players. So I think that it's more going to be the defensive side of the ball. They've lost some players again on defense, obviously John Johnson. They've done a pretty good job of drafting safeties over the last couple of years, doubling down actually these last couple of years with safeties, kind of foreseeing that John might leave in free agency. But I think you can never be, you can never get too many defensive playmakers to build around or to supplement around Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald. And I say that because they get paid so much money that in and around them, it's hard to keep guys on a year-to-year basis, because typically a group of players, Corey Littleton last year, John Johnson this year, Troy Hill this year, guys are graduating and having put up really good numbers, but because the Raiders have so much invested in a couple of guys, they have to continue to supplement around them. So I would imagine that a heavy emphasis is going to be on defense. And then, you know, if you're looking at the wide receiver position, they went and got a rookie last year that has a lot of potential, but they also lost Josh Reynolds. Robert Woods is getting a little bit older. So there's going to be a need to keep that churning as well. So they're in such good shape in a lot of ways that they could be very, very selective.
Right? And DeSean Jackson?
Yeah, well, there you go. That was kind of one of those under the radar type moves. But I think in Sean McVay's system, and you know, with a quarterback like Matthew Stafford and having so many other weapons around him, I'm really curious to see how DeSean Watson. I don't think he's going to be a high numbers guy, but he could have a big effect periodically. Yeah,
and I think he's been injured obviously the last few years, but I think that he's still a guy that can take the top off the coverage and still has got some legs that he can run by people, which is, like you said, with this system and Matthew Stafford being there, I think it's going to be interesting how they use him. So do you think that they're pretty comfortable on the offensive side of the ball? It's really the focus is going to be on defense?
Defense and center. Obviously, Austin Blythe moved on to the Kansas City Chiefs. Brian Allen is still there, a guy that they drafted a couple of years ago, but has been playing now behind Austin Blythe for a couple of years. It's a fairly good draft for centers this year, so I wouldn't be surprised at all. In fact, I'd be surprised if they didn't. Maybe in that second or third round. Pick a guy that has a chance to come in and be a day one starter and beat out Brian Allen for that center position.
All right, what do you hear about the 49ers? We know they've traded up, and it looks like they're taking a quarterback.
Yes, you definitely don't trade three first-round picks to go get, Penei Sewell, the offensive tackle from Oregon, although he's really good. Somebody's going to get a really good player with that because all these quarterbacks are going to go, and Sewell's going to land somewhere, maybe Cincinnati, and be a cornerstone Anthony Munoz type tackle.
Ooh, Benny, that's Bengals, big words. Right? That's big right? words,
hey,
Benny.
Hey, I'm just saying. Talk to me in 15 years, and we'll discuss that one. But yeah, I think obviously it's going to be a quarterback. Everyone has them connected to Mac Jones. You know what I'm hearing with that is, if you look at what the 49ers have done with Jimmy Garoppolo, I think their record's 22-8 with Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's good. So obviously Shanahan understands with this type of a quarterback, I could win and win big. The problem with Jimmy Garoppolo is he doesn't stay on the field, and he's missed a ton of games. And I want to say their record is 6-20-something without him. So it's one of those situations where they can win with Jimmy Garoppolo, but there's no guarantee that they could win with anybody else behind him because obviously the record is completely reversed. I think what they're doing, and this is the sense that I'm getting from some NFL people, they're trying to find a very similar quarterback to Jimmy Garoppolo, somebody that fits that Shanahan system, but it's just more durable, somebody that's going to stay on the field. Kyle Shanahan believes in the prototype of his type of quarterback, that he could win and win big with the Matt Ryans and the Jimmy Garoppolo's, the guys that he's won with over the course of his career. He just needs somebody that's going to actually stay on the field. And for those reasons, I think it's Mac Brown. But, Justin Fields had a nice day yesterday in front of the 49ers brass. So if you're doing your due diligence, if you move up all the way, give up everything that you did to get up to number three, to be in a position where it's your choice. You get to decide who the next best quarterback is behind the BYU quarterback and Trevor Lawrence. And you've put yourself in a position to control that process. You're not going to stay at 12 or 10 or wherever you might be and let somebody fall to you. You want to go up there and say, we're going to decide who that next best quarterback is. If you go in there with an open mind, then what happened yesterday could change, where the 49ers were thinking, and maybe they go in Justin Fields' direction. But the smoke around Mac Jones to the 49ers is so intense that at this point it would almost be a surprise if that wasn't their pick.
Yeah, and the hard part is, you can say, okay, this guy can do this, but no one can predict a guy getting injured.
Exactly.
There's guys that have never missed a snap in college and all of a sudden can't stay on the field in the pros and vice versa.
Here's something to keep in mind. I think it was 2017. Shanahan and John Lynch are there. It's their first year together with the 49ers. Remember, they had the third pick overall. in that draft. All right. And they were already looking ahead to 2018 when Kirk Cousins was going to be a free agent. I know this now because both Shanahan and John Lynch are on record talking about this. Okay. So they were going into that draft with a thought, Kirk Cousins, who Shanahan worked and helped develop in Washington, is going to be available as a free agent. Don't need a quarterback in 2017. So they had their mindset on drafting a non-quarterback. Well, John Lynch goes to Lubbock, Texas to go watch a guy by the name of Patrick Mahomes. And he says now, in retrospect, I was just going there as a smokescreen. I just wanted to deke another team into thinking that maybe we were interested to see if they would trade up and, you know how that happens. So he goes to Lubbock, Texas. It's a windy, crazy day. And Patrick Mahomes puts on a show, just an absolute show. And John Lynch said, I called Kyle after that. They took him out to dinner. They did all this, or John did. He goes, I call Kyle and say, hey, look, man, we might need to rethink this whole not taking a quarterback thing, because the quarterback that I just saw in Lubbock is the real deal. And look what happened. They decided not to do it. They ended up trading with the Chicago Bears. The Bears take Trubisky. The 49ers select Solomon Thomas from Stanford, who's now with the Raiders, by the way. And decided against drafting Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. And both of them have to be looking back and saying, man, that was a dumb decision on our part. You would wonder, that's why I'm thinking, if yesterday could have changed their opinion at all of Justin Fields. By all accounts, he had a really good day yesterday. Was it enough to get them off what seems to be their position of drafting Mac Jones? We're going to find out here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, if I was them, I don't think I ever would have admitted that.
Right, exactly. It was great for my purposes because I'm doing a story about power structures in the NFL and who has the final say. But yeah, I mean, it what it shows you is that Kyle Shanahan had already fixated on a different plan, and he was too inflexible to come off of that. And the odd thing is, Kirk Cousins never even ended up with the 49ers. He goes to the Vikings, and the 49ers, during the course, I believe, of that 2017 season, decide, you know what? We're going to go trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. So they could have mitigated all of that by just taking Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson with that pick that they had. And they were in total position to do that.
All right. Vinny, thanks for sharing. That was a good story.
Yeah. Yep.
That was good today.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Yeah.
All right, Vinny, you take care.
All right, you guys too. Take care, man.
All right, we're back to wrap things up in just a minute.
Hogan and Rodney.
Rodney Peace.
An athlete.
Rodney Peace.
A father.
Rodney Peace.
An LA icon.
Rodney Peace.
And this guy.
Red Rogan. AM 570 LA Sports.
Hey, find out what happened to country star and Dodger superfan Brad Paisley when the Dodgers won the World Series on the new Extra Innings podcast with David Ivesay. Download the free iHeartRadio app today and listen. Presented by Corona Extra. Find the fine life. La Vida. Live La Vida Mas Fina. Please drink responsibly. Corona.
Did that well.
Extra beer. Yeah. Okay. Ronnie, Kevin, good job. See you tomorrow, and Rodney, we'll get him on a Friday.
Trump lost on a blind to a broken man's dream. A hard lesson, court cases keep them guessing. Plea bargain ain't an option now, so I'm stressing. Cost me more to be free than a life in the pen. Making money over cuss words, writing again. Learn how to take a hit, so I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the sin. What's the worst they can do to a player? Got me lost in hell to live and die in LA on bail. My people say, live and die now.